Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each, then get flavorful Tyson natural boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, the rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, your running's over, that's for sure. He already knows all about you. Cut you down.
Warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And this week, we're going to be continuing and concluding the story of Franklin Dale Church, which I named Fire Chief. I'm very honored again today to have my dear friend, or longtime friend, and the best criminal defense attorney in Livingston Parish, Jasper Rock, with me. How are you, Jasper?
Doing great.
Great. Great to have you back. Y'all, if you hadn't heard the series of Mo, Jasper was on the final episode, and he got to come in and testify. He was a defense attorney on that trial from Mo, and we got to talk about everything. It was fire. Best episode by far in the whole series, hands down. But today, I brought Jasper back. I'm going to thank you, Jasper, first of all, for coming back. But we brought him back so you can hear the non-Woody side of Franklin Dale Church. Now, please go back and listen to the first episode if you haven't before you hear this one. So first of all, Jasper, for the people who don't know, who haven't listened to Bloody Angola or to Mo, who are you and where are you from? What do you do?
Okay. My name is Jasper Brock. I go by Jace. I've been an attorney in Livingston Parish for 30 years, around 30 years, I guess. It's hard to keep up anymore. And I do exclusively criminal defense, and part of what I do is I have a contract with the public defender's office to take cases that they have a conflict on. And so just like Mo and I think you called the episode the nice guy, the guy that cut the baby out of the stomach.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that was
yeah,
a conflict.
Yeah.
Those are Christina Constance are all conflict. Right. Generally, when it's a bad case, somehow that we find a way to conflict it, and I usually get it.
But you, let me talk about that real quick. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think you usually get, especially the most high-profile ones like this, because they know you have the experience. They're not going to give it to a rookie, right? Right. Certainly, they have contracts with much younger attorneys with less experience.
It seems to work out that I get the worst ones.
I know you get the worst, but I'm telling you, they know when it comes back on appeals that Jasper Rock's going to have done it correctly and handled his business. So I think that's why you get it. But so on Franklin Dale Church, I actually hadn't thought about him in a lot of years, and you and I were talking after the Mo episode, mm-hmm. and I went and looked it up, and first of all, I immediately recognized this pitcher and who he was. And hell, I worked with him back when I was on the street, and they'd respond to crashes and, you know, house fires and everything. You would just think he's a clean cut, good guy, you know, fire chief of Holden, right? That's, you know, I don't even know how many fires they have in Holden, but it is. I mean, he still was fire chief.
Right. But he did car wrecks and all kind of stuff.
Right, right. He did everything. But in public servant, mm-hmm. at least that's what he portrayed. And, so tell me how you came into contact with him.
Okay. Well, his was a unique situation. What happened, if you listen to the first episode, which I did, and it was great.
Thank you.
He gets arrested the first time for enticing this 13-year-old girl to meet him for sex. And I think he got caught before he could ever consummate the act.
Right. But he brought her a pack of cigarettes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. A specific kind of cigarette she asked for. And so he goes to jail. He had some savings, and he hires either Lewis Unglesby or his son, but that law firm paid him a bunch of money, paid a bunch of money to bond out. And then a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, I forget, he did it again, and he went back to jail.
Right. What he did again is he had contact with this.
We had more than just contact.
Yeah. Well, she was at least 13 at the time, this baby in my mind, right? But go ahead.
So when he was having contact with her the second time, one of the sick things that he did was he gave her to his son as a birthday present. I don't remember if it was the 18th or the 21st birthday, but he had this little girl have sex with his son. And I don't remember if he watched or not. Doesn't matter if he did.
Yeah.
So the son got arrested as well. And, of course, Mr. Church got arrested a second time. So the public defender started representing the son because Lewis Unglesby or his firm represented Franklin Dale Church. Well, when they found out about the second arrest, they came in and said, oh, Judge, we didn't sign up for this.
Right.
The judge let them out and let them keep all the money.
Right.
And then they went, oh, we got to find a lawyer for Franklin Dale Church, and we can't do it because we have the son.
Right.
So that's how I got stuck with it.
Stuck with it. And y'all, let's go back to it. On, I did not cover that. I'm remiss in not covering the fact that he gave this baby girl to his son's first birthday present. And it's not sex, it's rape. And she can't consent, right?
Right.
And they get arrested. He gets arrested again. And now you get
Now I get the whole ball.
The whole ball.
The first charges and the second charges.
So do you go in and talk to him at some point? What happens?
I go in and he's because it's unlike Mo, he's still alive and he's still appealing. Right. So I can't really say anything he said to me because it's attorney-client privilege. Right. But I just can't say he was not overly cooperative and not overly talkative. He just basically said, I want to go to trial. You know, they can't prove this.
Gotcha. You know? So what do you what did you think about like his looks or his demeanor?
He was fairly calm about everything. I remember he had a mustache. He wasn't a big guy. I mean, he wasn't like didn't look like Brad Pitt that, you know, 13-year-old girls would be falling all over him.
Right.
He wasn't young. It wasn't like he was 22 or 23. He was an older guy.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it shocked me that any 13-year-old would do any of these things with him, willingly.
Well, I know that he, you know, grooms his victims, and it came out in the trial. All the other family members that come forward that he did over the years, and the mama even catching him doing it to one of the girls, or fingering whatever he was doing to her, and the mama was like, "Oh, boys will be boys. They're just going to do that."
Oh, yeah. She just excused it and threatened to punish the cousins and sisters and everybody that had told on him. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So he'd gotten away with it his whole life.
Yeah. And that's because he was smart until he wasn't. You know, they always get careless in the end, right? And fuck up. So you go to trial, and did they offer him anything ahead of time?
Well, before you go to trial, they did what was called a prior hearing. Mm-hmm. It sounds like prior, but it's not prior. But prior and prior kind of mean the same thing. Prior is a person's name. It's state versus prior. But it's, ironically, it's where they have a hearing to say if you can show where somebody did something similar. Like if you're charged with armed robbery and you were a drug dealer before, they couldn't prior that in and use it against you because it's not the same conduct. But if you're molesting somebody and you've molested somebody in the past, then they have a hearing and the judge decides whether that's similar enough to be used against you in a trial. So
showing a pattern.
Right.
Right.
There's a pattern or lustful disposition. And
there's a
test that the court uses to see if it meets all the steps. And so we had a lengthy prior hearing.
A lot of witnesses came forward and said,
I think it was probably went from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock one day.
And that when the family members testified?
Right. All these cousins and nieces, one right after the other.
Right.
You know, he did this to me. It's just sick crap that he did to these people. And we had, I don't know, these people aren't going to be familiar, but at the old courthouse, we had it gotten so many cases and it had so much business that they had to annex the church across the street. And they turned the gymnasium of the church across the street into a courtroom.
Right.
And so that's where we had the prior hearing, was in the courtroom annex across the street. And it was not like a normal courtroom. It was just a big room. And you had a big, long table with a podium in the middle. And the judge, of course, was in front. So that you'd have the defendant and his attorney on one side of the podium and the prosecutors on the other. But you were basically at a big, long table. There was just a podium separating you. So we had this hearing, and, you know, every one of his cousins or sisters or whoever came in and testified. You know, he raped them or he pinned them up against the wall and did stuff. And he was just brutal.
As a defense attorney in a prior hearing, can you challenge any of that?
All you can do is cross-examine them. But, it's like one right after the other, and you're sitting there going like, what am I going to ask him? And you're looking at him, and he's just basically expressionless, you know?
No.
And the only things he would say, would be like stuff like, not like I didn't do it, or it just, she's lying because, she said this happened in October, and she was never there in October. She was only there in the summer. You know, it would be minor details that had nothing to do with anything that proved his innocence.
Right. Well, it wasn't like she was out of state. It was just she got the time wrong. Right.
But anyway, at the time, the prosecutor was Charlotte Herbert, who's now Judge Charlotte Foster.
Right.
And you know
talk about her all the time, y'all.
But I don't know if you've ever said this about her. I mean, beside the fact that she's probably one of the top prosecutors ever in this parish.
Absolutely.
Every bad case you've ever talked about, she prosecuted.
Probably one of the top I've ever worked with in my entire career.
And if it was a bad case, from Gerald Bordelon to every bad case, it was her.
Yeah.
She didn't, you know, they don't give it to me, anybody else.
Right.
The Walber case, every bad case, she prosecuted. So, of course, this qualified.
Right.
But she is also the most proper person you've ever met. I've known her 25 years. I had never heard her utter a cuss word. Not a damn came out of her mouth. And we spent like 4.5 hours doing this prayer hearing. And we finally finished the prayer hearing, and the deputies come and take him out. And the victims go out. And she leans over in front of that podium, looks at me, and I'm don't want to quote her exactly because I'm making it wrong. Yeah. And she either looked at me and she said, "Your client's either your client's a piece of shit, or your client's a fucking piece of shit." But what either one, I was just that came out of Charlotte's mouth. It's like I've been doing this a long time. You know, Gerald Bordelon, all these people.
All
and this
bands.
Is the one she says, "Your client's a piece of shit."
Yes, indeed. Oh my gosh, and. She always took everything to heart. See, I've seen her cry a couple times at juries and closing statements and things like that. But yeah, she was like, what you do for defense, she did for the prosecution, in my mind, being the best. I wanted, and for her to get fired up like that, especially after all the cases y'all have heard me talk about in Real Life, Real Crime that Charlotte handled, and the hardest thing
I'm telling
one.
You, I've been there for a lot, even the ones I didn't handle.
Me, right.
Murders that she did, I've never heard her utter a word like that. Yeah. And I remember telling her husband, Larry Foster, that story after he didn't believe she said it.
Right. Well, you know what? He is a piece of shit, or an effing piece of shit. Hey, lifers, you want to hear something that's even more shocking than any true crime episode? Since 2020, 2 out of 3 people report feeling extreme stress, and it's affecting their sleep and affecting their overall health. These days, stress seems to hit us from every possible angle in any environment at any time, day after day. Unfortunately, all that stress can have a serious impact on your immune, digestive, respiratory, and cardiovascular system. And of course, it can do a number on your cognitive and mental health. Wouldn't it be nice if you just had an off switch, an easy way to reboot and reset so that you could quickly find a calm, clear, and positive way to handle whatever life throws at you? Just Calm, y'all. The breakthrough new stress and mood support formula from Just Thrive. Yes, the same Just Thrive that produces our favorite probiotic. Here's what makes Just Calm so radically different from anything you may have tried before. It's the first retail-available supplement to feature the proprietary psychobiotic strain known as BL1714. Psychobiotics are a new class of products that utilize beneficial bacteria to support your best mood, cognition, and emotional health. And BL1714 is the most heavily researched and scientifically verified strain available. In fact, numerous studies have shown that BL1714 can be an absolute powerhouse in the fight for your mental well-being because it quickly promotes a healthy response to everyday stress, encourages a steady, serene, and balanced mood, drives mental clarity, focus, and alertness, and even supports great energy and optimal sleep. Imagine being able to turn down the noise and turn up the calm with one addition to your daily routine that takes just seconds to implement, and it's all natural. This is true stress management support that's built for the modern world. So bring on the shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro.
Oh.
Right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astepro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, playing my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. AsteproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astepro and go.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara. Insufferable rush hour traffic, the deadlines and mounting pressures at work, and the relentless miles-long to-do list. With just Calm, you'll have the power to take on the day feeling cool, collected, and in control. Paired with Just Thrive Probiotic, this is one dynamic duo for proven gut, immune, and mood support to help you live your best life. If you're ready to up your game and feel your best, you can get 15% off both Just Thrive Probiotic and Just Calm or any of their other scientifically proven products when you go to justthrivehealth.com and use code RLRC at checkout. That's RLRC at justthrive.com. Use that code at checkout, y'all. You can thank me later. Peace. So
anyway, so we go through that, and then I'm like,
oh, and what happened at the end of that?
Well, of course, the judge said, well, yeah, all this can come in at the trial.
Right.
And so then I, tell him, look, man, you still want to go to trial? They're going to hear all right. These people say all that stuff.
Right.
And say, oh, I want to go to trial. And I firmly believed that either one of two things, either he thought that girl was never going to come and testify against that. He still had that much control over her.
I believe that's what it was.
And I think part of him was so proud of what he did, he wanted other people to hear it.
He wanted to show off.
He wanted people to know, hey, I was able to get her to do all these things.
And then in the end, if she doesn't show up, then look at me, ha ha.
Right.
But
and so he wasn't interested in any offer, and I think they made him one of like, because it was like eight counts or something, and I think they offered him over Charlotte's objection.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think the judge didn't want to go to trial or, had right. something to do that week, and I think he offered him a year on each count. So
really?
Consecutive for like 8 years or
that
something,
is crazy.
And he was like,
He said,
no. And I'm like, are you crazy? He's like, no, I want to go to trial.
That's crazy. Take that shit to trial. You and I talked about this briefly. When I was reading it, I was surprised. You know, I guess, you know, prosecution has a reason that it wasn't any aggravated rape charges. It was all indecent behavior.
I don't understand why they billed it how they did. Because and the evidence was basically overwhelming. Yeah, she had made
She admitted it in the CACs, the Child Advocacy Center interviews.
It happened. You had all the
her nipples were pierced. She, I mean,
well, not only were her nipples pierced, they had the implements that he used to pierce with his and her DNA on it.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know it. So they,
I mean, they had him
just dead to the rights.
Yeah, had all just.
So
mounds of evidence.
They go back to Dave and Christina Constance, and they weren't going to go for any aggravated rapes. Then they told me I was supposed to have the meeting with Scott and him. Leanne was technically lead on that. Charlotte wasn't. Charlotte ended up being. But
Charlotte didn't do Christina. Leanne did.
Yeah, so she did.
Yeah.
David. She was at least supervised on it. Because I'm going to tell you what happened. I thought we were going for the death penalty. We got 40-something cases, and I was supposed to have the meeting the next day. Never came. The next morning, Charlotte walks up. It's Leanne's shit. And Charlotte walks up, and I was like, this isn't going to be good for me. And she said, Woody, we're going only molestations. We're not, you know, don't go in there and say anything about aggravated rape, I went in there. I said aggravated rape. I just – in front of the grand jury. And the people got all pissed off, and that's when they cried and slammed their hands on the table. And one person said, Detective Overton, I want to know how come this person's been getting away with this 40 years. I said, great question. I asked Madam Prosecutor. And that's when Charlotte got up and left and went and called Scott Paralee, and they came back and said, we're going 4 counts of aggravated. Yeah. So I get it. I mean, it's a lot of money.
Well, this one, I don't think ever went to a grand jury.
Yeah. So it's a lot of money, and whatever the reason may be, it's a sick case.
It's worse than anything I've ever had.
Just out the box. But so y'all go to trial. And can you tell me about if you remember anything about voir dire during that, the jury selection or anything?
I don't remember the voir dire too much. I don't think we had a hard time getting a jury. The trial was just brutal.
Yeah.
There was just not much you could do. I mean,
from a defense standpoint.
All you can do is like when this cousin gets up there and says, well, wasn't it true you weren't ever there in October? No, I think I was. Oh, okay. I remember the biggest point I scored in the trial probably was the Livingston cops.
Randy Dufresne and.
When they first got him at the ballpark.
Right.
He had gotten up there and said something that was just totally wrong about how they did it or where they did it or where they took him. So I spent 20 minutes on, he's lying about this. He's got to be lying about everything.
Right. You're trying to poke the holes in the box like you told me.
There wasn't a whole lot of other than that.
Yeah.
And we were hoping that that the girl wouldn't get on the stand.
Yeah.
But she did. And I remember just learning stuff on the stand that I didn't know. Yeah.
What about when they were questioning her about him, her calling him daddy, and I had it. I read it in the last episode, and she was like, "I don't think I can say that." I'm like, you can say it. Then Charlotte got it out of her and stuff. But him putting a dog collar around on her neck and covering up and whipping her.
That was all kind of crazy stuff. The piercing the nipples and giving it to her.
So because I wasn't
her
there.
Her son. Crazy stuff that got worse and worse.
Did they introduce the DNA on the nipple piercing stuff at the trial?
I think they did.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy.
And it was, I forgot what I was going to say, but it was crazy how he contacted her after the first arrest. That the mama had taken her to like a condo in Destin or something, and she kept staying in the bathroom or whatever. And finally, mom was like, "What are you doing in the bathroom?" She said, "I'm reading my Kindle." And somehow they get on the Kindle. Somehow he figured out or she figured out how to email back and forth through a Kindle or message.
Yeah.
If it's not,
and
email.
I'd never heard of that. And I have a Kindle.
And I had another case where they were people that weren't supposed to contact each other, and I don't remember what case it was. They were doing it through the comments, like on.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. John White, WebMD's Chief Medical Officer and host of the Spotlight On series from WebMD's Health Discovered podcast. For this special two-part episode, you'll hear up close and personal journeys about being diagnosed with a rare type of cancer, multiple myeloma.
He looked at me. I have been his patient for more than 20 years. And he said, "This is really strange. You're an African American, age 57. I've never seen this before."
This back pain that you're continually having with no signs of osteoporosis.
No signs, exactly. And I didn't have any signs of osteoporosis in my family history.
Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like on some game, like Words with Friends or something, right. You could comment at the bottom.
I've heard they were sending
messages like through a game with words.
Right.
And so that's how they were contacting each other. And she was just 100% loyal to him. I think she contacted him and kept contacting him.
He had her so groomed, right?
Oh, yeah.
I hope she's doing it.
And I think he really believed she's never going to testify against me.
Pure narcissism at the psychopathic, definitely, but narcissism.
I think he thought, you know, because you have the CAC tape, but you can't, the law says you can't play that tape unless she testifies because you can't cross-examine a tape.
Right.
And he just, I think he firmly believed, oh, she's not going to ever say anything against me, and I don't think she wanted to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she had already said it on the CAC, but I'm sure she didn't want to. Do you remember anything about her demeanor in the courtroom or anything like that?
Yeah, I think she was just scared, you know, and she wouldn't. She wouldn't really look at him. She didn't want to look at him. Yeah. And I think it wasn't because she was testifying. I think she didn't want to disappoint him.
Right. That's crazy.
The whole thing was bizarre. I did something with Jim earlier. The one thing that stood out about Franklin Dale Church sitting next to him was I was sat next to a lot of people. But for some reason, maybe it's because, you know, you get beat up in the shower and whatever when you have those kind of charges.
Chomos.
Yeah. When I tell you, he had the worst body odor.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was just brutal to sit next to him, especially like that day we had to do the prayer. Oh. I mean, I'm just kind of, I'm dying.
You tell him, hey, bro, tell the deputies, please hose this bitch off when you bring him to court. Oh, man. And so you had to sit there and breathe that and listen to all that. That's crazy. I don't know. So the trial goes on. I guess the ultimate nail in the coffin is when she takes the stand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, he was done when the cousins were. I mean, they were ready to put him in jail. And then I think it probably took them like 10 minutes to convict him.
Yeah, longer to pick the jury foreman than it did to convict him.
It did not take long.
So,
they wanted to kill him.
Yeah. And that's why I used to tell people, I'm like, are you stupid? You're going to get there and you're going to have a jury of regular people who go to church on Sundays and have kids and don't rape them and have regular jobs and whatever. And it's really not a jury of their peers. Right? Because they're not fucking child molesters and everything else. And they're going to want to kill somebody. And that's the truth. And unfortunately, that's how it is. They want somebody to pay. And fortunately, some of the cases that are it's false convictions is because it's such a horrible crime and that they want somebody to pay.
Right. And it believe me, they had no sympathy for him.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody did.
Yeah.
And once the story came out, it was like, and he just never, it never fazed him. It's phasing him now. Obviously, he's filing all kind of appeals, saying his sentence was excessive. And I remember afterwards the local whatever Dim Springs paper is. you know, it come up
Livingston Parish News.
Yeah, Livingston Parish News came and said, "Well, you know, do you have any comment about?" I think it was after sentencing, after he got like 60 or 80 years, whatever he got, and they said, "You know, you have anything to say?" I said, "No." He turned down 8 or whatever it was. He got what he deserved, a dumbass.
Right. You know? That's right.
And I think they,
I mean, at that point,
because I remember a judge coming, "Did you really say that in the paper?"
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you meant it, call a spade a spade. So let's go back to, because I wasn't there. I think the listeners will find it interesting. When they go out, and you know, as a defense attorney, if they come back and say, "Oh, the jury's back in," that fast, you're screwed. Or it's not.
Yeah, it wasn't one.
You're not screwed. Your client was screwed.
I knew before they went out. I didn't have time to go eat dinner or anything. I better hang around.
You didn't make it to the door, probably.
This one was coming back pretty quick.
So they bring y'all back in, and I know that excitement's in the courtroom, the tension, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they bring the jury, they file them back in, and the judge says, "Have you reached a verdict?" And they hand it out. Can you tell me what happened at that moment?
Yeah, he basically no real reaction.
They said count one, guilty.
Guilty. Count, you know, I'm looking at him, and he's just pretty much stone faced.
Yeah.
And it was like he wasn't fazed by it. I mean, I'd have been, on the floor, knowing I was going to prison forever. But
exactly,
he was unfazed. The thing that stood out about the verdict was when it was over. A lot of times we'll go in the back and talk to the jurors.
Right.
And a lot of times you'll go back there to see what you could have done better. I knew there wasn't anything I could do. I just went back there just to thank them for their time or whatever. And of course, Charlotte had gone in before me. She was probably in there in a couple minutes before me. I had done something, went into the back, and she was already in. Well, I opened the door and I walked in, or the bailiff opened the door, and I walked in, and they look. I could tell. I mean, they wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
You could tell they wanted to kill me.
Represent that piece of shit?
Yeah. And I remember Charlotte going, "Hey, no, it's not. Believe Charlotte it. He didn't even want to be here. He's a nice guy. Yeah. It's not. He didn't want to even represent that guy."
Exactly right. So holy shit. No, Charlotte could feel it. That you're about. There's about to be another crime in the courthouse. Yeah.
Right. Because they literally were ready to kill me.
Yeah, and that goes back to the regular people can't hear this shit. You know? Yeah. It's like Real Life or Crime that when I started with the concepts, I'm like, fuck, they want to hear a story. I tell them a story because I was listening to all those number ones, and it's like John and they Rams and they reading over. And I'm like, I'm going to tell them some real shit. And because they're true crimes, the number one genre in the world, right? Until they actually hear it. I was in Dallas a couple weeks ago doing a speak. I was co-speaking at Podcast Movement on how to have more than one successful podcast. And the ladies that were on stage with me, they have two. And we got done. They were like, "Oh, we'd love to do something. We'd love to do something." I'm like, "Cool." I said, "I'm working on whatever." It was the Darla Routier case, the death of her mom out of Texas. And they were like, "Oh, no, we don't do any cases about kids." I'm like, "What do you mean? We don't do cases about kids." I'm like, "Fuck, kids get killed too and raped and everything." Yeah. That's a huge part of it. But nobody wants to talk about that.
Right.
But it's a real deal. But I'm going to touch on that real quick because it just came to my head. You know what? When you walked in that room and the jury is having the hatred toward you, or like, let's say, Denny Perkins' attorney gets on the news or whatever, and everybody's having such hatred against this guy, you know what? Fuck, everybody deserves a right.
I got all kinds of threats and, Facebook, people posted Facebook comments about me and how, when Jeffrey, I can't even remember his last name.
Which one? The one that cut the baby out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Jeffrey somebody. I can't remember his last name.
Mr. Nice Guy, y'all. Go listen to
him. Right. And he got a deal for 20 years, and it was a negotiated deal, and the girl that got the baby cut out of her stomach was in on the deal, but I got pages and pages of people Facebook comments about I should get the 20 years
and
somebody should go cut something out of my wife's belly, I didn't have any choice.
Right. So I'm going to make that because, I've never talked.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
About that, y'all, everybody, no matter how big of a piece of shit they are, deserves and. Not only deserve it, I want them to have the best counsel they can have because I've never had anything of mine turned over on appeal. You know why? Because every motherfucker I went up against was like Jace, Jasper, Brock, and they handled their business and shit didn't get, you know, they couldn't claim an ineffective counsel. They can claim whatever the fuck they want to. They're going to, but it gets thrown out because
that he had the best.
And people don't realize, you know, that you're doing
your job.
You get these people, and some of them, you don't have a problem with. You have a problem with what they did,
right?
But as a cop, you probably arrested hundreds of people. You were like, if I wasn't arresting this guy, I could have a beer with him.
Or I get to jail and book him in, and we're shaking hands when I'm leaving. I'm like, hey, you fucked up.
Franklin Dale Church was not one of them.
Yes, yes.
He was not somebody I want to have a beer with. He's not somebody I want to discuss or sit next to.
Just sit next to him, smell him again. Yeah.
But Jeffrey, he was just like you call it. He was a nice guy. I didn't have any problem with him. Christina Constance.
Yeah.
She couldn't have been any nicer.
Nicest lady in the world, but she just happened suckers. Seven-year-olds.
And then there's some that you just, you know, I can't get away from.
Oh, yeah. It's like Mark Lewis. I almost lost my job. There's a couple of them I almost lost my job when we were alone.
That was straight. Shit. I almost got Mark Lewis. And the only reason I got out of that one was I went to the jail to see him because back then they used to talk to you before they gave it to you.
Right.
Then just drop it on your desk.
Right.
And I went to go see Mark Lewis, and for the people who don't know, he's the one that killed Caitlin.
Screwdriver Red, yeah.
And I walk in, and they bring him in the room, and he sits down, and he goes, "I know you." I said, "How the hell do you know me?" Mm-hmm. And I had a daughter the same age as Caitlin, and the same age at the same time when I was doing Franklin Church.
I had a
13-year-old daughter when I was trying that case.
My daughter was the same age.
She's now 23, but at the time she was 13. But anyway, I walk in, and he goes, "I know you." And I said, "Well, how the hell do you know me?" He goes, "Well, I was just in your house last week." I was like,
"What?
You were in my house last?" He said, "Oh, yeah, you know, you had that cabinet built. That was the painter they sent in to paint your house." I was like,
"Are you shitting me?"
That was enough to get me
out
of it.
Crazy, right? So you got out on that ground? prior knowledge. Wow. Fuck him, too. That's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, Franklin Dale Church – special breed of monster, right?
I can't even remember all the stuff. I mean, like the Pearson was one that just
they're giving it to the son for the.
And I think he belonged to some like fantasy sex club. I didn't know those even exist, like a fantasy football league.
Yeah.
And they would meet or either by over the internet or actually meet. And he had bags of like sex toys, and they would go through all their fantasies and whatever.
Oh,
and he just was. He was proud of what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell. I mean, he was just when that girl was talking to him or those people were talking, he probably perked up. It was like, I did that.
And he got away with it for however long.
And you're just looking at him going, not only do you stink, but come on, man.
At least
be over there faking it, going, bullshit, I didn't do that.
Right. Show something and throw something down. I'm going to ask you this.
The confirmation for Kavanaugh, you know, he's in there screaming, I didn't do that.
Buddy.
This guy was like,
Hey, you talked before about every one of your clients when it comes to trial, you give them a yellow pad and a pen. I know you can't say if you wrote, do you remember if you wrote anything at all?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he participated, but like I said, all the time it was about, you know, stupid details.
Nothing that would negate. It was just stuff you
could go up there and ask questions,
but nothing that was going to change the facts.
You know, she said this happened on Tuesday. Well, she only came over on Thursdays, you know.
But you're telling me she came over
and she's 13. What was she doing at your house?
And you didn't say you didn't put the dildo inside of her, whatever you did to one of them.
Or like, you know, the DNA. It was like.
How do you explain that?
He's like,
that's crazy. That so
she wanted me to do that. You know, whatever. Oh, you know,
yeah, because she can consent.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I got nothing else to say about it.
I've done a lot of them, and that's not one I would ever want to do again.
Tell me, I'm going to ask about this. So, in case the listeners don't know. When you get found guilty, then you get locked up, but they have to come back for a sentencing date. Do you remember anything about that?
Well, yeah, because you
This is raw and unscripted.
Right. The whole thing's pretty much
raw. Right.
I'm not overly prepared for this.
But that's the best ones.
One of the things you have to do as an attorney, and it doesn't matter how the trial went, if it was a close call or it was a slam dunk or whatever, by law – you have to file a motion for new trial, and a motion an arrested verdict, saying that, you know, there wasn't enough evidence to convict him, and asked the judge to overrule the verdict or to grant him a new trial because they shouldn't have been convicted.
Right.
And, you know, in cases like where it's just obvious he should have been convicted, but you got to get up there in front of this courtroom full of people and argue, oh, no, judge, they should have, they never should have, because you, but if you don't do it, it's malpractice.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what I remember about the sentencing was, having to stay, you know, and there's a courtroom full of people because it was high profile.
Yeah.
You know, oh, no, judge, they didn't prove their case, you know, and Charles looking at you like, right, I didn't prove.
Who was the judge?
Bruce Bennett.
Oh, God. Yeah, he doesn't play anyway, right?
Yeah.
And then, so you had to do that.
So you have to argue all that stuff and embarrass yourself because there's plenty of evidence. You know,
I've seen
some lawyers just kind of bail it in and go, judge, motion for new trial. He's all right, make your argument. Well, it's in my motion.
Yeah. Read it. Yeah.
I don't need to say it out loud. It's in my motion.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then, yeah, he gave him the sentence, and I think he was shocked by the sentence because the judge was like, made "I'm going to give
did
you."
Did anybody make victim impact statements or anything like that, or
no.
Did he make any kind of statements?
Made no statement whatsoever, and the judge gave him the maximum on each count, consecutive, whatever that turned out to be.
Yeah.
It may have been like 10 years per count.
Yeah, I think it was he got 60 or 80 years, something like that.
So yeah, it's probably 8 counts at 10 years a count.
I guarantee you, if he gets the good time. He ain't getting parole.
No.
And that's if he lives that long because he's up at bloody Angola. And I really meant it when I know they listen, you know, because cell phones are a big thing now on the contraband. And what better way to pass your time in prison than if you could get to listen to podcasts and shit. Or maybe it's the guards, COs that tell them, but I have people that tell me about these people. Mm. And I know. This motherfucker's up there.
Something against me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he can file something against me too. You need a bag of dicks, as far as I'm concerned. But I really want the convicts, the true bad guys, the murderers, the armed robbers, whatever, to know this dude is. I'm saying this, not Jace Brock, is the lowest of the low, child molesting piece of shit. Don't let him pull the wool over your eyes. I mean, maybe he's using his body as a self-defense anti-rape mechanism.
And I don't know if you remember, and I don't mean to disparage anybody, I'm probably getting in trouble for this, but his sister was a bailiff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. His sister, I don't think she was still there at the time, but she was a bailiff for a couple of years before that.
Yeah.
And I never realized till after the case was over.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, we're going to, they'd hired an attorney to appeal it.
Yeah.
And she came and picked up the file. And I was like, I didn't really.
Well, you know what? On that, it's not, certainly not the sister's fault. And my heart, and I know yours does too, goes out to the victim and victims, plural, in this case. And even, you know, I can't say anything about his son because he raped that little girl, but.
Well, yeah, but just think about it.
Yeah.
His mindset is he's doing something great for his son, and he's making his son a sex offender for the rest of his life.
Exactly, right?
What a present for dad.
That's the gift that keeps on giving, right? Register, please.
Never be able to get a job or an apartment for the rest of my life.
And register wherever you go to live. Everybody in the neighborhood knows you're a child molester.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. That's the best present ever.
Wow. Special kind of monster. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a special level of scum.
Yeah. Well, Jasper or Jace, I appreciate you coming in again. Y'all, again, this was totally raw and unscripted. That's the way I want it to be. You go back and listen to the first episode. You got to hear the defense side, which I think is important. And I think it's important, too, that people actually know that defense attorneys have to do their job. And everybody, even this piece of shit, deserves
a defense. And for all those people, because I read the comments that, you know, they're all out after Jared Ambo for representing Denny, and
he's doing his job.
Yeah, I mean, is he making money? I'm sure they liquidated everything they own to pay for him, but it's not, you know.
Yeah,
all these people, he needs to be in prison with him.
Yeah, well, that, you know what? The Constitution, you have a right
Yeah.
You know, it's a defense, right? So that's part of being an American, good, bad, or indifferent.
And in some of these cases, you don't have a choice. You know, yeah, they don't ask me if I want this
case.
You know, well, I could terminate my contract if I didn't want it, but
I'd
do it for the health insurance. So.
Right. But the deal is, you do it. But you do it to the best of your ability. It's not like you're like, fuck them, I'm going to stiff them. I know because I've seen you too many times in court. And even on cases where, like this one, it's a shitbag show for you. You know you can't win it because of the overwhelming amount of evidence. You still fought for this dude.
Right. And then there's cases, too, that you get these murder cases. And it's murders. It's automatic life.
Right. That's it.
Well, why are you going to trial? You don't have a choice.
Yes, right. You're not, no attorney.
They're not going to plead to life in prison. You may as well go to trial.
I always say no defense attorney is going to plead. If you take death penalty off the table and second-degree murder, it's mandatory.
They didn't offer Mo anything less than life. He had to go to trial.
Right. And you might get that one juror or whatever that fucks it up. Or
something happens later on, you get an appeal.
That's right. So take the shit to trial.
Guys in the Wahlberg case.
Yeah, I know, right?
Death penalty, and now they're back down to like 25 years.
I know, right? I'm going to cover that
one. I mean, this guy's going to do more time than the guys that killed the Wahlberg kid.
Yeah, and that was a horrible case, y'all. That's Eric Wahlberg out of Albany, and I'm going to do that story one day after it's all adjudicated. So, Jasper, any closing thoughts?
No, I appreciate you coming. Hopefully, I don't.
Man, you
didn't say too much.
You're
to get me in trouble.
No, I don't think you said anything to get you in trouble. And y'all, I know because of the overwhelming response I had after the Mo series, I think more people want to hear from the defense aspect on cases. So, will you come back again?
Yeah,
I loved having you, brother. It's good to see you. And y'all, I'm gonna conclude this episode of Fire Chief. Say this podcast stuff we've got to say. Go listen, like, subscribe. Anywhere you can listen to a podcast. Check me out on YouTube now. Jim Chapman, my producer, has that channel up. This one will actually be on video. Most of mine aren't because I record by myself. If you want to see what Jace Brock looks like and you don't know, go watch this video.
It's not a pretty picture.
Jason and I are like two male stud models up in here on the camera right now. But go to YouTube. It's under Real Life Real Crime Podcast. I'm on Instagram and all the Facebook pages. Oh, don't forget the Real Life Real Crime Community app. We were the first true crime show to ever have our own app and app stores. Download it for free. Go there. I go there first now because I keep getting fucking put in Facebook jail, and I don't even know why. But I'm the only one that censors the app. So go check that out. Patreon members, convicts. Jace, if you don't know, the convicts are what I call my subscribers through the app. Patreon and convicts, I appreciate you. You're going to get a bonus episode before October 1. They'll be locked up in a vault, and that'll make like 17 or 18. So y'all, I get the messages every day from a new lifer. Hey, I just binged 11 hours or how many hours and more content. If you want, go subscribe and you'll get all those bonus episodes, plus your commercial-free early releases of each episode. And LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, we're about to start the raffle in October, and I'm going to do a special drop on all that. But if you're a lifer from, pick a country, Jace.
Germany.
If you're a lifer from Germany and you want to be an organ donor, don't have to be from Louisiana. Go to LOPA.org, fill out the little form. It takes like 2 minutes. Become an organ donor and save lives, people. That's what it's all about. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace. Real Life, Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by your host, Woody Overton, executive producer, Jim Chapman with Envision Podcast Studios. Your music is provided by Chase Tyler and the Chase Tyler Band. Follow me on Instagram at Real Life Real Crime or at Overton Woody. Check out our numerous social media pages. Also, go to the App Store and download our free Real Life Real Crime community app, which contains all things Real Life Real Crime and true crime and uncensored and run by me. Wherever you listen to a podcast, go like, subscribe, and review to Real Life Real Crime or my other podcast, Scorched Justice. Thank you.
the other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to and during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.